My name is Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I want to welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministries Interactive Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading the book of Ezekiel, chapters 26 through 30. And following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you need the questions, go to rfcm.org and click on Bible Classes. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number one, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be opened for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. This means that your mic will remain open for the entire class. Please do us a huge favor by protecting our ears from background noises. A good way to do this is to simply keep your phone muted whenever you're not speaking and unmuting only when you want to speak. Let us pray. Precious Lord, giver of life, thank you for your presence as we look intently into your word. Thank you for your word and the privilege to have it to study and a chance to write it on the tablets of our hearts. We ask that you give each one of us a revelation and a new understanding of you as we eat this spiritual meat and vegetables. We are all here to receive more and more of your kindness and peace. Thank you, Lord, that we are taking this opportunity to serve you. We ask that you bless each person that is attending now or will attend in the future, and bless us to have a class that pleases you. We thank you and ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will listen to Ezekiel chapters 36 through 40, and I will see you on the other side.
Ezekiel 26. In the 11th month of the 12th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, aha, the gate of the nations is broken, and its doors have swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruins, I will prosper. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Tyre. I will bring many nations against you, like the sea casting up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and pull down her towers. I will scrape away her rubble and make her a bare rock. Out in the sea, she will become a place to spread fish nets. For I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. She will become plunder for the nations, and her settlements on the mainland will be ravaged by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. From the north I am going to bring against Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, with horsemen and a great army. He will ravage your settlements on the mainland with the sword. He will set up siege works against you, build a ramp up to your walls, and raise his shields against you. He will direct the blows of his battering rams against your walls and demolish your towers with his weapons. His horses will be so many that they will cover you with dust. Your walls will tremble at the noise of the war horses, wagons, and chariots when he enters your gates, as men enter a city whose walls have been broken through. The hooves of his horses will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your wealth and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and demolish your fine houses and throw your stones, timber, and rubble into the sea. I will put an end to your noisy songs, and the music of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock, and you will become a place to spread fishnets. You will never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to Tyre. Will not the coastlands tremble at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan and the slaughter takes place in you? When all the princes of the coast will step down from their thrones and lay aside their robes and take off their embroidered garments. Clothed with terror, they will sit on the ground, trembling every moment, appalled at you. Then they will take up a lament concerning you and say to you, how you are destroyed, city of renown, peopled by men of the sea. You were a power on the seas, you and your citizens. You put your terror on all who live there. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. The islands in the sea are terrified at your collapse. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I make you a desolate city like cities no longer inhabited, and when I bring the ocean depths over you and its vast waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of long ago. I will make you dwell in the earth below as in ancient ruins with those who go down to the pit, and you will not return or take your place in the land of the living. I will bring you to a horrible end, and you will be no more. You will be sought, but you will never again be found, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 27. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of Man, take up a lament concerning Tyre. Say to Tyre, situated at the gateway to the sea, merchant of people on many coasts, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You say, Tyre, I am perfect in beauty. Your domain was on the high seas. Your builders brought your beauty to perfection. They made all your timbers of juniper from Senir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan they made your oars. Of cypress wood from the coasts of Cyprus they made your deck adorned with ivory. Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was your sail and served as your banner. Your awnings were of blue and purple from the coast of Elisha. Men of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your skilled men, Tyre, were aboard as your sailors. Veteran craftsmen of Byblos were on board as shipwrights to caulk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors came alongside to trade for your wares. Men of Persia, Lydia, and Put served as soldiers in your army. They hung their shields and helmets on your walls, bringing you splendor. Men of Arvad and Helek guarded your walls on every side. Men of Gamad were in your towers. They hung their shields around your walls. They brought your beauty to perfection. Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth of goods. They exchanged silver, iron, tin, and lead for your merchandise. Greece, Tubal, and Meshech did business with you. They traded human beings and articles of bronze for your wares. Men of Beth Togarma exchanged chariot horses, cavalry horses, and mules for your merchandise. The men of Rhodes traded with you, and many coastlands were your customers. They paid you with ivory, tusks, and ebony. Aram did business with you because of your many products. They exchanged turquoise, purple fabric, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies for your merchandise. Judah and Israel traded with you. They exchanged wheat from Manith and confections, honey, olive oil, and balm for your wares. Damascus did business with you because of your many products and great wealth of goods. They offered wine from Helbon, wool from Zahar, and casks of wine from Izal in exchange for your wares. Wrought iron, cassia, and calamus. Dedan traded in saddle blankets with you. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your customers. They did business with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah traded with you. For your merchandise, they exchanged the finest of all kinds of spices and precious stones and gold. Aran, Canae, and Eden, and merchants of Sheba, Asher, and Kilmad traded with you. In your marketplace, they traded with you beautiful garments, blue fabric, embroidered work, and multicolored rugs with cords twisted and tightly knotted. the ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your wares. You are filled with heavy cargo as you sail the sea. Your oarsmen take you out to the high seas, but the east wind will break you to pieces far out at sea. Your wealth, merchandise, and wares, your mariners, sailors, and shipwrights, your merchants and all your soldiers and everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your shipwreck. The shorelines will quake when your sailors cry out. All who handle the oars will abandon their ships. The mariners and all the sailors will stand on the shore. They will raise their voice and cry bitterly over you. They will sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in ashes. They will shave their heads because of you and will put on sackcloth. They will weep over you with anguish of soul and with bitter mourning. As they wail and mourn over you, they will take up a lament concerning you. Who was ever silenced like Tyre, surrounded by the sea? When your merchandise went out on the seas, you satisfied many nations. With your great wealth and your wares, you enriched the kings of the earth. Now you are shattered by the sea in the depths of the waters. Your wares nor your company have gone down with you. All who live in the coastlands are appalled at you. Their kings shudder with horror, and their faces are distorted with fear. The merchants among the nations scoff at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Ezekiel 28. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself and amassed gold and silver in your treasuries. By your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth. And because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you think you are wise as a god, I am going to bring foreigners against you, the most ruthless of nations. They will draw their swords against your beauty and wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die a violent death in the heart of the seas. Will you then say, I am a god, in the presence of those who kill you? You will be but a mortal, not a god, in the hands of those who slay you. You will die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners. I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Sidon, prophesy against her, and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Sidon, and among you I will display my glory. You will know that I am the Lord when I inflict punishment on you, and within you am proved to be holy. I will send a plague upon you, and make blood flow in your streets. The slain will fall within you, with the sword against you on every side. Then you will know that I am the Lord. No longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns. Then they will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. They will live there in safety and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who maligned them. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. Ezekiel 29. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak to him and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great monster lying among your streams. You say, the Nile belongs to me. I made it for myself. But I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your streams stick to your scales. I will pull you out from among your streams with all the fish sticking to your scales. I will leave you in the desert, you and all the fish of your streams. You will fall on the open field and not be gathered or picked up. I will give you as food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky. Then all who live in Egypt will know that I am the Lord. You have been a staff of reed for the people of Israel. When they grasped you with their hands, you splintered, and you tore open their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke, and their backs were wrenched. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will bring a sword against you, and kill both men and beast. Egypt will become a desolate wasteland. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Because you said the Nile is mine, I made it. Therefore, I am against you and against your streams. And I will make the land of Egypt a ruin and a desolate waste from Migdal to Aswan, as far as the border of Cush. The foot of neither man nor beast will pass through it. No one will live there for 40 years. I will make the land of Egypt desolate among devastated lands, and her cities will lie desolate 40 years among ruined cities. And I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them through the countries. Yet this is what the Sovereign Lord says. At the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the nations where they were scattered. I will bring them back from captivity and return them to Upper Egypt, the land of their ancestry. There they will be a lowly kingdom. It will be the lowliest of kingdoms and will never again exalt itself above the other nations. I will make it so weak that it will never again rule over the nations. Egypt will no longer be a source of confidence for the people of Israel, but will be a reminder of their sin in turning to her for help. Then they will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. In the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, drove his army in a hard campaign against Tyre. Every head was rubbed bare, and every shoulder made raw. Yet he and his army got no reward from the campaign he led against Tyre. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to give Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will carry off its wealth. He will loot and plunder the land as pay for his army. I have given him Egypt as a reward for his efforts because he and his army did it for me, declares the Sovereign Lord. On that day, I will make a horn grow for the Israelites, and I will open your mouth among them. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 30. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Wail and say, alas for that day. For the day is near. The day of the Lord is near. A day of clouds. A time of doom for the nations. A sword will come against Egypt. And anguish will come upon Cush. When the slain fall in Egypt, her wealth will be carried away and her foundations torn down. Cush and Libya, Lydia and all Arabia, Cub, and the people of the covenant land will fall by the sword along with Egypt. This is what the Lord says. The allies of Egypt will fall and her proud strength will fail. From Migdal to Aswan, they will fall by the sword within her, declares the sovereign Lord. They will be desolate among desolate lands. And their cities will lie among ruined cities. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I set fire to Egypt and all her helpers are crushed. On that day, messengers will go out from me in ships to frighten Cush out of her complacency. Anguish will take hold of them on the day of Egypt's doom, for it is sure to come. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will put an end to the hordes of Egypt. By the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he and his army, the most ruthless of nations, will be brought in to destroy the land. They will draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. I will dry up the waters of the Nile and sell the land to an evil nation. By the hand of foreigners, I will lay waste the land and everything in it. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will destroy the idols and put an end to the images in Memphis. No longer will there be a prince in Egypt, and I will spread fear throughout the land. I will lay waste Upper Egypt, set fire to Zoan, and inflict punishment on Thebes. I will pour out my wrath on Pelusium, the stronghold of Egypt, and wipe out the hordes of Thebes. I will set fire to Egypt. Pelusium will writhe in agony. Thebes will be taken by storm. Memphis will be in constant distress. The young men of Heliopolis and Bubastis will fall by the sword, and the cities themselves will go into captivity. Dark will be the day at Tapanhas when I break the yoke of Egypt. There her proud strength will come to an end. She will be covered with clouds, and her villages will go into captivity. So I will inflict punishment on Egypt, and they will know that I am the Lord. In the 11th year, in the first month, on the 7th day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It has not been bound up to be healed or put in a splint so that it may become strong enough to hold a sword. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I will break both his arms, the good arm as well as the broken one, and make the sword fall from his hand. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them through the countries. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand. But I will break the arms of Pharaoh, and he will groan before him like a mortally wounded man. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh will fall limp. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon and he brandishes it against Egypt. I will disperse the Egyptians among the nations and scatter them through the countries. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
Amen. Okay, that was Ezekiel 26 through 30. I think I said 40 earlier. I didn't mean that. But I'm happy to have you join us. I want to make sure to mention here that I'm a student and I'm still learning the word in a class where we can never graduate. So let's get started with question number one. Two verses in Proverbs 24 explain Ezekiel chapter 26, 1 through 6.
Is it Proverbs 24, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18?
Yes, that's it.
Yep, that's right.
All right, you got your glasses on, Eric.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
You want to read it?
Well, I don't have the page. I apologize. Give me a moment. I'll do it. You say that's Proverbs. You say 24.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay,
24, 17, and 18.
Yes, and it reads as follows: Don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble, for the Lord will be displeased with you, and will turn His anger away from them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And good evening to you as well.
And good evening to everyone. And to you, Deacon Eric. I appreciate you. Okay, question number two. What methods of demolition will King Nebuchadnezzar use?
I had chapter 26, verses 2. I had 7 through 14. Okay, I'm not right. All right.
Are there
okay,
any
I
other answers?
Chapter 1, 8 through 12.
8 through 12? Okay. Let's see.
Okay. I was looking for just 9, but I'll take 8 through 12. That's awesome.
Okay. Just 9. I like that. This is chapter 26. Okay, I'm flipping over. That's why I see this. Okay.
Yeah.
You got it?
26. Yeah. Wait a minute. No, I don't.
Okay. He will pound your walls with battering ram and demolish your towers with sledgehammers. Is that right? Ezekiel 26. You said verse 9, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I had a whole lot of stuff. When I went to what, 12? I mean 11. Okay. All right. Thank you. Let me correct that.
All right, thank you. No, I think it all goes, but the number, the verse 9 just hits the nail right there on the head.
All right.
All right, number 3. A funeral is being held for the city of Tyre. True or false?
I said false. And my reason
well,
is that because I
well, what? What verses did you have to support false?
This is, let's see, what did I have? What is the question? Wait, let me read the question, make sure I have the question right. Anyway, what did I
false.
Have? What did I? Because I had verses 19 through 21 for some reason. That's what I had. I don't know. Let me read what it is.
Okay.
I read my question.
Eric, that's absolutely correct. However, though, I have put the same verses, but I put true.
I put true.
You did true?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they said he was. Let me read it again then.
Will someone read 19 through 21?
Okay. Okay, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make Tyre an uninhabitable ruin like many others. I will bury you beneath the terrible waves of enemy attack. Great seas will swallow you. I will send you to the pit to join those who descended there long ago. Your city will lie in ruins, buried beneath the earth, like those in the pit who have entered the world of the dead. You will have no place of respect here in the land of the living. You say 21 as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. I will bring you to a terrible end, and you will exist no more. You will be looked for, but you will never again be found. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken.
I said false because this sound is like what she just read. It sounded like he had nothing else to do with it. It was just done. I'm through with this. I mean, he didn't. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Let me read it to myself.
Yeah. And see, I had looked at 17 because 17 said, then they will wail for you singing this funeral song. So that's why I said I thought it was true. And it says, O famous island city once ruler of the sea, how have you been destroyed, you people there in Naples? So that's why when I saw that part up there about the funeral song, I just assumed it was a funeral.
I think that's correct. And I was thinking about the ocean depths being over them and the vast waters covering them like a burial. But that was just my thinking.
Well, see, and I'm seeing that now, too, as a very beneath the terrible waves of the enemy attack, great seas will swallow you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will send you into the pit to join those. And I'm just saying the way he's just saying everything he's doing against him is like, I thought you'd do a funeral to try and, well, anyway, all right.
Well,
so,
Eric, you was 80% right because you had all the verses I was looking for. How about that?
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So now
right, I have an overview. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Nothing, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I have an overview of chapter 26. The Lord is prophesying what will happen to the city of Tyre, and it's nothing nice. They can look forward to complete destruction. Their sin is pride and idolatry. Okay, are there any questions?
No, not to that. That's what it was.
Question number 4. How can you tell that the city of Tyre was proud?
I'm gonna wait and see what they say.
I had quite a bit. I don't know if it's all right, but I had 3 through 25 because it talks about
3 through 7.
Hmm. 3 through 7.
Yep. I had 3 through 7. 3 through 7.
That's what I had.
3 through 7.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other answers? Okay. Well, I had only 1 through 3.
Oh, my God.
But I agree that the whole chapter shows why they were proud.
Because I think it had detail on how everything was, you know, really nice and the best with perfection and the brightness and the beautiful, made with such beautiful stuff. That's why I thought it was, because it's just in detail about everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you read verses 1 through 3?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go back down. Okay. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, sing a funeral song for Tyre, that mighty gateway to the sea, the trading center of the world. Give Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. You boasted, O Tyre, my beauty is perfect.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I...
You had a different answer?
Well, I... How can you tell that the city of Tyre was... I had 3 through 7, and my reasoning was because of after 3, what was 3 started? Let me find, okay. That mighty gateway to the sea, the trading center of the world, give Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. You boasted, O Tyre, of my beauty is perfect. You extended your boundaries into the sea. Your builders made your beauty perfect. You were like a great ship built of the finest cypress from Samir. They took a cedar from the Lebanon to make a mast for you. They carved your oars from oaks of Bashan. Your deck of pine from the coast of Cyprus was inlaid with ivory. Your sails were made of Egypt's finest linen, and they flew with a banner above you. You stood beneath the blue and purple awning, made bright with dyes from the coast of Elisha. Okay, my reason of that was all the, they gave them like they gave them all like top stuff and made them feel like, they made them feel like they were special, or, you know, they just were so indirectly boasting about having that. That was my opinion. I'm not saying that it's right, though. That's why I said that.
Okay. Deacon Eric, I agree with you that they had reason to be proud because of all the beauty and all the, what do you call it, commerce that was happening with all the best kind of stuff to trade. But they didn't have to be proud because of all that. They could have been thanking the Lord for all that.
Okay.
Instead, they said
good
they
call.
Were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about that? That ain't how it felt to me. You looking at the bright side of the coin. I'm looking at all, just looking at the coin. You look at both sides. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Question number 5. In the long list of merchandise that was traded in Tyre, were human slaves included, true or false?
Oh, my God.
False. I don't know. I didn't see any.
Oh, God. I said dimly. I said true on that one. On verse 12.
Oh, I had verse 13.
Verse 12, it says, Tasha and merchants to buy.
They weren't included. Humans weren't included.
We're saying they brought slaves and articles of bronze to trade with you. The slaves
what,
are you.
What chapter is that? I mean, what verse is that?
Chapter 27, verse number 12. Chapter 27, verse 12.
Oh, verse 12.
No, I think it's 13.
Is it 13?
Mm-hmm. But that's correct. In
oh, yeah,
the
13,
NIV,
my bad. It's 13.
Yeah, yeah okay, there you 13, go, 13.
Right?
Okay, I see the slaves.
Yeah, 13,
the
right.
Yeah, okay.
They snuck that
right.
in there, huh?
I don't know, I just saw the slaves in the article of bronze. I mean, the slaves, that's what made me say they see a human. That's why I said true.
What? Okay, good. The answer is true. Would someone read verse 13?
Merchants from Greece, Tubal, Meshet brought slaves and articles of bronze to trade with you. So, yeah, they traded people.
Yeah.
Made it true.
Okay, question number 6. Will there be any survivors of the wrecked ship of Tyre?
It's 27 through 35. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. 34 through 36. I had 34 through 36.
Okay. I was looking for just verse 27.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Let's see what we got.
Sister Kathy, would you read verse 27?
I will. And it says, everything is lost, your riches and wares, your sailors and pilots, your shipbuilders, merchants and warriors, on the day of your ruin. Everyone aboard sinks into the depth of the sea.
Everyone what?
Amen. Thank you so much. Everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now 22. Wait, now what number was that?
That was number 6.
Number 6.
Oh, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now what did I say?
Chapter 27, verse
27.
Are there any questions on question number 6?
If you continue to read on down, it says, all the oarsmen abandoned their ships. The sailors and pilots on shore came to stand on the beach. So it's still, the sailors and pilots on shore, okay, came to stand on the beach.
It said, would it be any survivors of the wrecked ship? So everything was lost. Would it be no survivors? Yeah. But 27 says everything is lost. Everything. Your riches and wares, your sailors and pilots, everything. Your shipbuilders, merchants and warriors. On the day of ruin. Everyone on board sinks into the depths of the sea. So everyone is lost. and everything. No survival.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. But it does look like a contradiction.
Look at 34 through 36, Sister Johnson.
Deacon Eric,
not
absolutely,
saying I got it
absolutely
right.
Right.
That's what I had.
No, I agree with that answer, too. Now that I'm looking at that, it says in the depths of the waters, now you are shattered by the sea in the depths of the waters. Your wares and all your company have gone down with you. All who live in the coastlands are appalled at you, and their kings shudder with horror, and their faces are distorted with fear. The merchants among the nations scoff at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. So that's a very thorough answer. Thank you, Deacon Eric. That's also correct.
Well,
okay,
now, okay,
number
thank you,
seven.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Number seven is a little tricky because it's two scriptures that's the answer, but they are not touching each other. So what two things has made the king of Tyre proud?
Oh.
Is it number 28 verses 4 and 5? Is that one?
I thought it was 28:1 for one of them. Is that right? No, is it two? Is that two, I think? Hold on, let me see which one is two. Son of man, give the prince of Tyre this message from the sovereign Lord. In your great pride, you claim, I am a god. I sit on a divine throne in the heart of the sea, but you are only a man and not a god, though you boast that you are a god. No?
What verse is that?
Two. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 3, it says, you regard yourself as wiser than Daniel and think no secret is hidden from you. So that was my
thing.
Where...
Yeah, I had number 4 and 5, with your wisdom and understanding, you have amassed great wealth, gold and silver for your treasures. Yes, your wisdom had made you very rich, and your riches have made you very proud. So I thought with his wisdom and understanding made him proud.
Agree. Well, I was looking for verses 5 and verses 17. So would someone read both of those verses?
When you say 5,
17. You read that from the side already.
Verse 17 says, your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. Amen?
Yeah.
No? Amen.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
All right.
Okay, question number 8. Who is the enemy of Sidon?
28 verse 22.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Actually, read verses 21 and 22.
Oh, okay. And it says, son of man, turn and face the city of Sidon and prophesy against it. Give the people of Sidon this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Sidon, and I will reveal my glory by what I do to you. When I bring judgment against you and reveal my holiness among you, everyone watching will know that I am the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number 9. From what direction will the attack come?
Chapter 28, verse 23.
Agree.
Hmm?
Yes, would you read
what
verse
portion
23?
Is this? Number 9.
Number 9.
Yeah. 28, verse 23, I believe.
Agree. Yes. Would you read verse 23?
Okay. It says, I will send a plague against you, and blood will be spilled in your streets. The attack will come from every direction, and your people will lie slaughtered within your walls. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question number 10. Who is the monster lurking in the streams of the Nile River?
I had 29, verse number 3.
Are there any other answers?
That's what I had too.
Actually, that's the answer I'm looking for. Deacon Eric, would you please read verse 3?
Don't be playing with us like that. Having a second we round. I apologize. We can't tell you how to do what you're doing. Give them the message from the sovereign Lord. Excuse me. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great monster lurking in the streams of the Nile, for you have said, the Nile River is mine. I made it for myself. Amen?
Amen. Now, isn't that a lot of nerve?
Yeah. To say he made the Nile River, he really was cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, question number 11. What happened when Israel tried to depend on Egypt?
Okay, I think that's the one that
was kind of
easy.
Oh, man, I had 6 and 7. I don't know if that's
okay,
correct.
Okay, you did. I had 9 and 12.
I was looking for 7, but I think 6 and 7
okay.
Covering the answer. Would you read verses 6 and 7?
All of the people of Egypt will know that I am the Lord. For to Israel, you were just a staff made of reed. When Israel leaned on you, you splintered and broke and stabbed her in the armpit. When she put her weight on you, you gave way, and her back was thrown out of joint.
Amen. Thank you.
What's the question again? What happened when Israel tried to... Okay, go ahead.
Number 11. What happened when Israel tried to depend on Egypt? Okay, I have a bonus question. Who remembers why depending on Egypt is such an offense?
Repeat the question.
Who remembers why depending on Egypt is such an offense?
Because you're supposed to depend on God.
No takers on
that.
I can't remember who, but okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lotto.
Well, it was Egypt that enslaved them for 400 years prior.
And what was your question again?
Why was depending on Egypt offensive?
Okay.
And it's because they were disobedient. That's why they were put in a bondage for 400 years, because all they was away.
Well, I think
right.
It was more so Pharaoh.
Okay. You think it was more so what?
I thought it was more so like they cared. The character of who was in charge, doing what he was doing to him. I ain't saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I thought.
I think you are right. I think it's both of those things, because Pharaoh was absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm. And he, to get his way, he did what he did to him. Yeah, he pressed him hard.
Okay. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Nothing. It's not important. Go ahead.
Okay. Question number 12. Who does Nebuchadnezzar work for, and who pays his army?
29,
18, and 20. Did you say 19 and 20? Or, number 12,
right? Yeah, I had
18
and 21.
Okay, and you know what? I had 19 and 20 until we listened to it just now, and I said, wait a minute, 18 goes with that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll...
Yeah, I was thinking about the whole thing, reading the whole thing, but I know it says that.
How many verses do you have?
I had 18 to 21.
How many verses did you have, Sister Kathy?
19 to 20. I can read 18,
okay.
Too. Yeah, but I just said because...
Let's go with, let's go with 18 through 20.
Okay. It says, Son of man, the army of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon fought so hard against Tyre that the warriors' heads were rubbed bare and their shoulders were raw and blistered. Yet Nebuchadnezzar and his army won no plunder to compensate them for their, for all their work. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will carry off its wealth, plundering everything it has so he can pay his army. Yes, I have given him the land of Egypt as reward for his work, says the Sovereign Lord, because he was working for me when he destroyed Tyre.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So Nebuchadnezzar works for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number 13. How can you tell that Egypt was proud?
Verse 6.
Agree. Would you read that for me?
Yes, ma'am. Well, this is what the Lord says. All of Egypt's allies will fall, and the pride of her power will end. From Migdol to Aswan, they will be slaughtered by the sword, says the Sovereign Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, I forgot all the overviews. I had an overview for chapter 27. Everything Tyre
okay.
was known for would all come crashing down when God's east wind of judgment blew. And that's a commentary of Dr. Tony Evans. And an overview
okay.
of chapter 28 was a prophecy against the king of Tyre and neighboring Sidon. And so now
say
I think I'm caught
again.
Up.
Let's say the
I'm
last
sorry?
One again. I missed something. Say the last
oh,
one again
chapter.
About Sidon.
An overview for chapter 28. This chapter is a prophecy against the king of Tyre and neighboring Sidon.
Okay, neighboring Sidon. Okay. Thank you. I didn't hear what that other word was.
You're welcome. Okay, question 14. Who is the most ruthless of all?
Ten through 12?
I had 11.
Okay. 11
okay,
is
I
good.
Was looking for 10 and 11. Would
okay.
someone read 10 and 11?
Okay. Well, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. By the power of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, I will destroy the hordes of Egypt. He and his army, the most ruthless of all, will be sent to demolish the land. They will make war against Egypt until slaughtered Egyptians cover the ground. I will dry up the Nile River and sell the land to the wicked men. I will destroy the land of Egypt and everything in it. by the hands of foreigners, I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Question number 15. Who is the enemy of Pharaoh?
Is it 30:22?
Okay.
Agree.
Okay. Read as follows. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am the enemy of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I will break both of his arms, the good arm along with the broken one, and I will make his sword clatter to the ground.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Johnson, for the one verse answer. I appreciate that. I'm not being sarcastic nor facetious. I'm serious. I appreciate that.
You're being serious? Okay, very good.
Very serious. I am. Very much so. Because I answer a question with one verse, and they say it's like five verses go to that. I'm like, okay, you say so.
Yeah, I'm the one that always has the one verse answer.
I love it. I love it. And you did very well. You weren't shaking like I was.
I couldn't tell you were shaking.
No, your voice didn't tremble at all. You like to do this on the regular, so that was good. Congratulations.
Well, I thank you all for attending the class. That's awesome.
Yeah, you did good. Yeah. Everything was, easy to follow and easy. So thank you. You did a good job.
I didn't find any typographical errors on your work either.
All right.
Yes. Nicely worded. All right.
All right.
So. Got a new one he could throw in the cycle, in the rotation now.
Isn't that something? I'm so excited.
And that's fantastic. It's good. Yeah. And welcome to our circle of everything. We do everything. Yeah.
All right. I think we can close it out.
Pastor O.
Pastor O, do you have any announcements?
Yes, indeed. Just a few awesome class, awesome discussion, awesome searching out. And didn't nobody try to say in chapter 28 that was talking about the devil? I think it's verses 11 through, scholars fight verses 11 through, I think, 19. Scholars fight all the time over who exactly is that talking about. But when you get into cherubs and all of that, then, that's where the analogy kind of goes crazy. But, yeah, this is some good stuff. And, none of this really has to happen. All of these predictions that the prophet is making against even these pagan cities like Tyre, Sidon, and others, if they would just turn, just like Nineveh did, like Assyria had done earlier when Jonah went and preached against it, and those people repented, and nothing happened. Later on, though, their descendants went nuts again, and what was pronounced against that generation didn't happen to them, but it did to this generation, so... none of it has to happen. All of this is when I was reading Revelation one time, and I thought it was bad enough in the first 3.5 years. But then when I got into the last 3.5 years, I think it's 16 forward to 19, culminating in 19, it was a complete disaster. And the Lord knew I was concerned that if you want these people to believe in you, why are you ripping the planet apart? And then he reminded, you know what I mean? It was in my heart, and he knew it. And so is something you want to ask me? And I knew he knew, so I asked him, why, if you want to turn these people towards you, like, should you be tearing the planet up? They're not really going to like you for that. But we are this world's last chance to get saved in these kinds of conditions. When the tribulation period comes, the gloves come off. I mean, they've left the Lord nothing but disaster. And hopefully disaster will make them say, I reach out for you. But you'll notice something in the first 3 years and in the second 3 years when the disasters are happening. And both times, one time they run in the caves and hide and try to hide from God and not repent. And then on the other side, they literally shake their fist at God because they know he's doing this stuff and they're mad at him for it. So what the Lord came to was this: they left me no choice. It's always God's intention to turn a person from sin to salvation, always, 100% of the time. But people don't always listen. And that's the part that breaks the Lord's heart. If the Lord wasn't the Lord, he'd be in therapy because he loves people so much. Look, he gave us Jesus, right? How much more can you love somebody than to give up your perfect son for us, right? But he did that. And so his efforts then, and then you will know that I am the Lord. It's not saying, then you're going to know who I am. But what it's saying is, then you will know me. Turn to me. I'll forgive you for your sins. And then what was bad is now good. Okay? So, yeah, that was some good stuff. Anyway, for the announcements. Friday.
But hold on. Thank you for that, because I never understood that, why he always repeatedly say, I am the Lord. The way you just broke it down is very helpful. I thank you for that.
Yes, you know, that is his... you know, that's always his will. It's never God's intention to send anybody to hell. Everything he does to saved and unsaved people, saved folks, is to make us better. Unsaved folks is to get them saved, even if it's a disaster that wipes out every house on the block, or if he puts the power out on people for 3, 4, 5 days. Everything is an attempt to raise people's awareness. You know how Tyre had fallen in love with itself, because one time this guy told me that he had showed me a bunch of stuff that the Lord had blessed him with, and then he looked around at it, and I looked around at it, and he said, well, I must be doing something right for God to bless me like this, when he wasn't really all that righteous. He had it all mixed up like Tyre. They thought because they were so awesome, we don't even need God. We can just go without God. We can do whatever we want to do. We can run roughshod over God's people, and nothing will happen to us. But they got caught up in that, and so in the end they lost out. But what the Lord wanted to do was to see those things that they had as blessings from him, that he was loving on them. They weren't the cause of this. He is. He's the cosmological answer behind everything, the answer, the cause for everything that we see, but they didn't see that. They got puffed up in it. And the next thing you know, well, here comes the punishment. When nothing's left, but even then, it's to turn you from sin to him. That's all it ever is. It's never God. God can't say he so loved the world, but I hate you. And you're in the world. So when he said he so loved the world, now he gonna hate sin. He'll never stop hating sin. And he hates sin because sin destroys us, and he loves us. So he hates sin because it destroys us, and he loves us. But on the other hand, he'll never stop pursuing us, never, ever. We can't, and most of the things that we call sin today are really not even sins. It's just that I don't like it, you don't like it, so we've labeled it sin. Government labeled it sin. Somebody else labeled it sin. But there's very few things that God calls sin. Everything in the world is not sin. Okay, you might not like it or enjoy it, but other people do, and it's not a sin. So we first off, we have to be sure What they were doing was sin. Okay, and mostly what they did was crap out other people. Okay, they would attack people. Even when God used Nebuchadnezzar to spank Israel, he's like, okay, you liking this a little bit too much, so I'm going to have to spank you. So, you know, yeah, there's that. So anyway, Friday, Deacon Scott the Clyburn, bring back the family, 7 o'clock. Tune in and get involved in the conversation. I mean, you're a Christian, really? I mean, we always wonder, what does the Lord want us to do? And we sit around, oh, Jesus, Jesus, show me what to do. Well, he's saying get involved with bringing back the family. That's something to do. Okay, so get involved. Tune in Friday, 7 p.m., because you're not going to the club till, well, we didn't really go out to the party till 9, 10 o'clock. So you can go on and get this in, then go on out to the club, save somebody at the club. Amen. Saturday, Pastor Jonathan Tate is going to be bringing the word in our Saturday morning worship service. And then Sunday, we will be back in church, River Rouge High School, 11460 Coolidge Highway, River Rouge High School. Okay, directions are on the church website. Just click on directions, and it'll tell you exactly how to get there no matter where you're coming from. And it'll be so good to actually see faces again, to actually be able to hug one another. Okay, so we'll be in the LGI auditorium. Sunday school for the adults and children will be happening. Deaconess Sarah Tate, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon is going to be running Sunday school for the kids. And, of course, Pastor Janice Tate is going to be running Sunday school for the adults. And then we'll have our worship service at 10 o'clock. And then we'll go home. So, and don't forget your homework for Monday. It's already posted on the church website. I sent it out in your emails for Deaconess June Rogers class. Also, I sent out Pastor Janice Tate class coming up on Saturday. Her work went out today and is also posted on the website. You can always find everything on the website all the time, 24/7, 365. It never closed. We got people who stay up over there all night long. I don't know who those people are, but they be up all night. So go over there to the website, and, you know, they'll be glad to see you, because in the middle of the night ain't nobody up, and they'll be glad to see somebody come over to the website and visit. So go over there and visit. See what's happening at Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Okay, I'm good. Thank you, Sister Rebecca Johnson. For your, not yet, baby. Holy Ghost got me some unclear stuff. Thank you, Sister Rebecca Johnson, for your teaching. Let's keep all the sick in prayer. Friday, okay, we got that, and that, and that, and that. Okay, I did all that, so God bless you. Thank you. We in your hands now. Mine's clear.
Awesome. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence tonight as we learned about you. We thank you for a chance to fellowship as we study. We thank you for answered prayers that my husband is at Henry Ford Wyandotte recovering from a second successful surgery and blessed to keep his life. We thank you for the work you're already doing in causing him and Nicole Seabrook to be cancer-free. We ask that you cause us to be in service to others and to become or to continue to be cheerful givers of our time, talent, and treasure. We ask that you cause each one of us to remember to put on your full armor to fight battles for you. We ask that you give each of us what we need to get the victory against the authorities and powers of this dark world. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, man, I want a big giant shout-out to Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Deaconess Charles Tate, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and Superman of Prayer, Edward Johnson. Hey, man, for getting that communion. We had a communion situation today, and Rebecca got on the phone, and Kathy got on the phone, and Deacon Tate got on the phone, and We saw the communion situation today. But everybody is not of the same faith. And you know, sometimes funny things can happen. But anyway, all we have to do is pick up the phone, make a call, boom. Things get taken care of. So I want to thank all those people who got together real quick, solved the problem. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless. God keep you.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good night, y'all.
Been a real long time since I've seen sunshine through the darkest nights. Love it when you try. I just sit back and enjoy the ride. When I tried it my way, it was all wrong. All the friends that I had, they were long gone. Did the best that I could to try to be strong. Thought about letting go, but I held on. Now I need you to choose how I should move. By your side, that's the win, and we can't lose. Still, I'ma need your strength when I get weak. So you can drive, I'ma ride in the backseat. Go where you take me, yeah. I know I won't always understand, yeah. Where we're going, but I'll take a chance, yeah. And even if it gets confused, yeah, I'll be doing whatever you choose. When the road got dark, yeah, split the path to the green grass, dead and I follow, chasing right after you. And that's the truth, I won't last a minute, I need more of it. Feels like we'll be done when you call outside. Till your kingdom comes, got this race to run, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I know I won't always understand. Take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confusing,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose.